bam, bam, bam. Wild Things Were. Where the Wild Things Were, episode 11 of season 6 on the Grim After Show at AfterBuzz TV. I have reached new levels of terrible openings for this podcast with Yael and Tari literally, you guys can't see it, but they are literally facepalming. Let's get started with the AfterBuzz TV Grim After Show.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV for the Grim After Show. I cannot be stopped with the levels of
but
ridiculous.
You should.
I probably should.
Go on. Keep going.
Thanks for joining us, guys. We're talking about Season 6, Episode 11, Where the Wild Things Were. I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. I have a fantastic panel. The whole team's here. Yael Teagle.
I'm ashamed to be here right now, Zach. I am so ashamed.
You heard me practicing it before the show.
I didn't think it would happen. I'm Yael Teagle. I'm everywhere at Yael Teagle. That's Y-A-E-L-T-Y-G-I-E-L. And I am live in the chat where everyone is agreeing, no, Zach. Lydia says, no, Zach, no.
Wait, that was practiced?
I mean, for about 4 seconds before the show.
Oh. Cool. I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. That's T-A-R-I-J-A-Y.
Okay.
Bum, bum, bum.
Let's start out with the quote.
Yeah.
What? Were you going to say
something? No, sing it.
Yeah.
I am not going to sing the quote.
Bum, bum,
the
bum,
quote is Shakespearean.
Shakespeare. Bum, bum, bum.
All right. Hell is empty, and all the devils are here.
Great.
Yeah. It's Shakespeare's from The Tempest.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
I guess because hell is gonna empty. Maybe this other plainly like world is gonna empty out and like all the bad vessing from there just coming to Earth.
Also, The Tempest is also about a staff wielding wizard.
Mm-hmm.
Very much like the one we got today.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he is a wizard, too. Like,
yeah.
All right, let's just get this out of the way. you're referring to Gerstorer.
The what?
Gerstorer.
A little clearer.
Hey, I am pretty damn close on this one.
Are you?
Yeah,
you gotta
Gerstorer.
Get the musicality in it. Gerstorer.
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 You will fear Gerstorer.
Gerstorer. Come on, yo, you do it, too.
Nope.
Gerstorer.
Skull face.
Skull face.
Skull man.
Gerstorer.
Yeah.
But yeah. Alright, so I mean we're in Mirror World.
Yeah, I think we're done with this Vesson of the Week. We're like, hey, there are 3 episodes left. We might as well tie this stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. I would have really liked, I think we talked about this, this whole skull face and the prophecy and this other world. I would have really liked it had this been introduced, like, at the beginning of the season. Because this new information that we're getting feels real, like, quick.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like if they had kind of, and it would have just been a few lines where they were like, free the hidden actually meant freeing this guy, you know, and all the people for the Vesson of the Week stories were essentially siphoning power from this dude or something to that effect. That way they could have just tied everything in together for the season-long thing. So you find out that Black Claw was always a part of this and the Grimms were leading to this guy, stuff like that.
Oh, that would have been so cool if that's what Black Claw really wanted.
Right.
Yeah,
but we've like forgotten all about their
Because that would have tied season 5 and 6 together in a great way. Where it's like, oh, it, like because even if they weren't planning it, like we would have been like, they were planning it the whole time. It's like the way I feel about like the silence on Doctor Who, like that. Like I think like there was a long game being planned there in like seasons 5 and 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe it wasn't. Maybe, like, the writers made it up as they went along, but it felt like, especially the first time I watched it, it felt like they had mapped this all out.
Sure. But no, I think this, you know, if Black Claw would have been leading to this, because right now we have the stick, which we discovered last season, and the cloth, which we kind of started to break down, and then left all of what we were following on the cloth and went, no, no, there are new symbols. Ignore all the words that were on it. There are new symbols now.
Right.
And so then we were like, well, let's just follow that path instead. Mm-hmm. And if we don't find out, I mean, this episode would have been the episode to find out that, like, Sean was looking at the cloth and was like, oh, well, if these symbols are here and these words that I can read because I speak Latin and Aramaic, you know what I mean? Like, that would have tied it all together. But instead, they kind of erased the words that were on there and went, there's just these symbols you can't see.
Right.
Yeah. I was, did anyone else think that they, that Sean was going to be able to read some of the symbols since he's part Zauberiest?
I think you had suggested that if he vogued, he could read it.
I had assumed, it also, I mean, but by that logic, I mean, Monroe should also be able to see these symbols since he was healed by the stick, but, like, we kind of ignored that until this episode.
Yeah, and if it is that, like, a Zauberbeast can see it, then Adeline could see it.
Right.
But it seems to be just...
Couldn't Adeline see some of it?
No.
Or she couldn't see any of it?
No, the only people who could see it were Eve and...
Diana,
who saw all of it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's fair. But we get into the world, and this is cool. I'm enjoying it.
Shock! Because there's a question going on. Is this the past?
Yeah, are we in the past or are we in a different...
Are we in a different universe plane? Or...
I had theorized that it's the future.
Oh!
Yeah. So...
Interesting.
I mean, and it could be so far enough in the future where, like, guns have been forgotten from mm-hmm. generations to generations. They are also in the middle of a forest.
Right.
And I think that would be a really interesting way of having this weird cyclical thing where essentially this guy was always meant to come back and lead to the events that led him to come back again. So there may have been an original timeline, but ultimately the Grimms were fighting against this guy or something, and then essentially... From that future, he found a way to always come back and ensure his future comes to pass.
Kendall in the chat says, Nick should really learn German. He thought he would have learned it because of his ancestry. I don't know about because of his ancestry, but he definitely should have learned German by now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How many books do you need to have to, like, get translated in German before you're like, maybe I should, like...
Pick up a few words.
Like, get one of those, like, home study things.
Yeah.
He'll always have Monroe, though. Like, Monroe is like, I speak 100 different languages. So he doesn't need to. He's like, I'll store that in Monroe's brain.
You know what's weird? He goes through and he's in the other place and he has his gun, but he doesn't have his phone on him. Which, like, first of all, no one is standing in that house without their phone in their pocket. You know what I mean? Like, the whole Monroe Lee is there and Adeline's there. They all have their phones on them and you know it.
Right.
They live in 2017. Their phone is in their pocket. There's no way he stepped through that and didn't have his phone and could definitely use Google Translate.
I
would accept that there was no service.
Right.
I would accept that. But the fact that he doesn't have a phone and that neither does Eve, I don't accept that.
Yeah.
Just saying. Just saying.
Yeah, I don't think it could connect to the Google servers in
the Black Forest in whatever time and space he's in.
Yeah,
yeah.
I feel like the fact that they say it's the Black Forest mm-hmm. does lead me to lean towards like Tari, what you're saying. Like I love the future idea.
Yeah.
With this show, I think more likely we're in the past, but I think that that's a cooler idea, so I don't know which one to lean on.
I feel like we're in the past mostly because I know that, like, some fans have been begging uncontrollably for, like, 3-4 seasons, I don't know how long.
Yeah.
Hi, guys!
For, like, origins. Like, somebody, you know, who really wants to know where they came from.
Totally, yeah.
And how they got there. I know a lot of fans named Zach Wilson.
I don't know.
That Zach Wilson on Twitter has been begging.
Wait, which Zach Wilson?
That Zach Wilson.
Oh, got it.
Sounds stupid to me.
I agree, but he's been wanting origins, and we have two episodes left, so...
And maybe this is it. Maybe it's that, like, maybe the version of, like, the origins is, like, it's not... It's very different than what I had been predicting, where it's not humans who get turned into Vessen, but that rather Vessen existed, these monsters existed, and then they were given a hiding technique at some point. Like, it was the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Lydia points out that it's an alternate dimension that can only be accessed through magic. Mm-hmm. So that's another option, is that it's
that's
not
sort of
actually...
what the show set it up to be.
Right.
But, like, I don't put it... But, like, that could be a fake-out.
Right. And this alternate dimension... Diana, like, she... The stick is special. They're in the other place. Why are we asking questions? This girl clearly understands what's happening, and they're going, oh, okay.
Well,
ask her!
She also has, like, a 2 or 3 year old's understanding of the world.
Right.
So even if you kind of asked her to elaborate, she'd be like, you know, the other place. It's like a place that's, like, not here, but it's another place.
Right, but you don't say, could you elaborate? You ask specific questions.
Yeah, right.
Where is it? How do you get there other than the mirror?
Is it dangerous?
What does, like, it look like?
But I don't know if she has the ability to explain those things. Like when they tried to get her to elaborate on the fact that, like, the place didn't exist yet, she's like, I don't know. It just doesn't exist yet. She couldn't even come up with the word premonition or, like, alternate.
She doesn't have to say premonition, though, to describe this place. Like, there are general questions. I think, like, what y'all saying, like, there are general questions that you could ask, like, who's there?
Right.
Like, are there people there? Are there buildings there? Mm-hmm. Are there weapons there? Like,
yeah.
Are we there? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there are just things that parents should know how to talk to their kids and ask them questions.
Uh-huh. And we know that these are the best parents.
Yeah, the best parents. They put her to bed and then realized they had to go to who was it? Somebody went through and they were like, we have to go. And they picked her up and moved her. They were like, we just put her down, but let's get her up and move her.
Yeah.
The best parents. Just ask questions. I just don't get it.
So did you guys feel like the Schrodinger's cat analogy was relevant, or what did you guys make of that?
I know the Schrodinger's cat, like,
right,
theory.
Yeah.
Like, the use of it here confused me more like it helped.
I also
I've lost track of what was happening when the Schrodinger's cat thing got explained.
Yeah, I've seen many a shows, especially recently, like, let me throw in this theory to you and explain it.
Yeah.
Great. No way does Renard not know that theory. Renard went, what is it? No way does Renard not know.
No, I think Renard's like, explain how that's relevant here.
He needed an explanation of what it was.
Yeah.
Which was obnoxious. Because then Monroe was like, oh, the theory that says this, that I believe.
Mm.
Because, like, here's why it confused me. Because the Schrodinger's cat theory, like, it's not supposed to be a real thing. It's a thought experiment.
Right.
Like, it's a purely mental idea. Like, mm-hmm. that until you know something, it's not real. But this place wasn't in... But, like, that almost implies that this place was created in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like... If the Schrodinger's cat theory is actually applicable, mm-hmm. it would mean that, like, the mirror dimension was created in one of their minds and only existed because they decided to open it. If it's that it existed and it wasn't going to affect them until they opened the barrier, that could be a thing, but it's not Schrodinger's cat.
Well, I think it is the latter of the two that you said, where essentially it exists as a separate dimension that could or could not exist until they made their way there, which solidified it as an actual thing. So, I mean, and the fact that, like, because even though Schrodinger's cat is a thought experiment, the pieces of it still exist in that, like, you could essentially put a cat in a box, and you could essentially put poison in that box, and then it... the fact that you are either opening, keeping it closed or opening it, these conditions still could exist. So too could this alternate dimension.
But your storer, had already come through. Like, that dimension was affecting our world before they ever went into it.
Right.
So, Grimaniac in the chat tries to explain it and says, by entering the other world, they've basically opened Pandora's box. Before they entered, both dimensions could exist simultaneously, but now it seems only one can exist. That's how he's seeing it. And that's why the stick couldn't enter the other world. We have a lot of other really good points in the chat that I just want to point out.
Well, hold on. On Grimaniac's point. Let's rethink it with that, because that's an interesting thing. So both existed effectively. Just like the Schrodinger's cat experiment is that both states exist simultaneously, but if you don't reveal it... So I guess it's somewhere in between Schrodinger's cat and Plato's cave.
Sure.
Where it's like the rest of it doesn't exist until you know that it exists. Mm-hmm. Plato's cave being, if you spent your entire life in a cave, you would assume that that was the entire world.
Right.
And you won't crave for anything more until somebody either shows you or tells you about the world outside the cave.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cave will always be a cave. It will no longer be the world.
Interesting.
Okay. In the chat, some comments about parenting. Amanda asks, can Adeline use her powers to read Diana's mind to fill in the holes? Hole in One, I think, says, does Diana even know the difference between humans and Vessin? Really good point. Okay. And Tasha says, they've only been parents for like 3 months. Give them a break. These are all really good points about my complaining about their parenting. Yep.
But let's go back into do we want to give it a name?
What?
The other world?
Other world.
The other place.
I mean, yeah, I like mirror dimension, even though it's not technically
a mirror dimension.
Just call it the future.
Right, guys. I think this place on the other side of the mirror.
It's too long. I'm trying to simplify our things.
The other place?
The other place.
The other place. So this world, the world that this exists in, there are... Vessin always exists in vogued form.
Yes. We don't know if always. We know that currently, in this other place, Vessin are stuck in vogued form. And it seems that they are forced into it, as we see with Eve.
Yeah, well, like, there's something natural about, like, something about this dimension or time or whatever.
Everyone's coming up with names. Look what you did, Zach.
I'm going with Top. The other place.
Top. So,
wait, I want to see the names.
So we have World 2.0. Get out of the chat!
No, I want to see.
We have World 2.0, Underside Land, Z's House, Vessin Hell. No, I'm sorry. Grimaniac, you cannot call it the mirror dimension on the Grim Wiki because it's not.
Why not?
Because it's not a mirror dimension. Did no one see that episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
No.
Okay.
What
anyway.
She goes through the mirror and everything's backwards.
Yes.
Anyway, but the first thing we see a bunch of Bloopbot, like, with super long hair.
Yeah.
Chasing after and killing a bunch of Bauerschwan.
Yep. And there was a human.
Yes. That was fighting them off.
Right.
I thought it was going to be a Grimm at first.
Yeah, me too.
But I think it was pretty evident that it was not.
No, mm-hmm. Just a wee guy.
It was walking meat, as they refer to themselves.
That's accurate.
They even call themselves walking meat. Like, that is some low self-esteem stuff right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess this is a world where, like, Vessin control the world.
I don't know if we can... Sorry.
Or just, control this part of
the
world.
Yeah, I don't know, because we haven't seen outside this forest, and we also haven't seen outside, like, a 5-foot radius.
Yeah.
It's, like, real small.
Yeah. But this area, which they said looks... Nick said it is the Black Forest.
It's the Black Forest.
It's confirmed.
Yeah.
Lydia says, get a haircut, hippie.
Sideburns.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's what, like, happens when you stay vogued for a while. Like, all the Vessin that we know, like, they're only in that state for a couple minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Usually. And I like... So I get, like, this dimension doesn't know guns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're all surprised by Nick's magic wand gun.
I'm also gonna guess that time moves differently based on the weather. So when Eve comes through, it is snowing.
Yeah.
It is, like, snowing. And then she moves to the other area, which is foresty, and there is no snow whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
But also, by the time Nick gets there, the snow is almost all gone. And there's no, like, it's not wet or anything.
As though
there was snow.
That's a good point.
So I assume time moves differently, and not they film... Oh, no.
What?
There was a snowstorm when they were filming the last episodes. And they had to postpone filming the last episode.
Did they?
Yeah, so maybe I'm just going with there was trouble when they filmed. But also...
Well, time! From a logistical standpoint, maybe that's what happened. But, like...
I think time moves
also,
differently.
Yeah.
Prediction.
You know, and stars are involved. Magical stars.
Yes.
So that changes climate.
Climate
change is
real.
That's
the other big thing that sort of says it's probably not the past or the future, is that the stars are different.
Are they different?
Because the symbols were in the sky, like the constellation, like we're in.
I think that could be the future or the past,
where the stars are in a different place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because I mean, essentially, when we were mapping out the day that the bad thing is supposed to happen, it was based on the alignment of the stars. So it's something that hasn't happened. It's a star alignment that definitely hasn't happened any time in the past, but has only occurred in that moment in the future.
But I just mean, like planets alignment, like, will change over the centuries or decades or whatever. But, like, the stars and how we see them don't change that drastically over, unless this is, like, thousands and thousands of years where, like, stars have burned out. Like,
I mean, it would have to
be. Yeah, yeah.
If it's far enough in the future where they've forgotten about guns, then it has to be a good amount of time.
Or far enough in the past that guns haven't been even close to invented.
Right.
Yeah, but I think it takes the past out of the running, because, like, if this is, like, 14th century or even, like, 10th century, the stars are not different from the way they are today.
Right.
Could be even further back.
So, this
I guess
is...
it could be.
There's no saying it can't be...
Right.
Before time.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
because our recorded history is only, 2,000-something years old, 3,000 years old?
I guess it could be, like, 3,000, 4,000 years ago.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Could be 100,000 years ago.
But I'd like to keep...
Well, not with people in this form.
Yeah.
We didn't look like that.
Yeah, but look at the show. It could be whenever.
I don't know. How long has German been a language?
That too.
girl, magic mirror.
Guys, I'm just trying to support my theory
that it's the future. I got you.
You know, the moment they opened up the box, it made that future potentially real. Potential future.
Yes.
Anyway.
I had a theory on the stick. I'm not 100% sure because it doesn't... It's not perfect yet. The theory's not perfect yet, but I wanted to throw it to you guys.
Interesting.
I wonder if it's the same theory.
Probably.
Go on.
Do you think the our stick is a piece of Gerstorer's staff?
Yes.
Everyone's picking up on that.
Yes.
That is a theory that is going around.
Cool.
We don't know if it's true.
But then it's like, how did it get here from that dimension?
Right.
If it can't pass through the mirror at all... Because, like, when Nick used it to try to open, like, Nick used it to open the mirror passageway, and then it was the only thing that couldn't travel through.
Yeah. We had a theory that it couldn't go through the mirror because it already existed in that place. So if it is part of the staff, then it can't exist in two places in the same way that two universes can't exist in one place.
Okay.
Nice.
So, like, if it's a timeline thing, it can't go through the same timeline.
Right.
Interesting. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, the other piece of it could be that when the original Grimms were, I'm assuming that they were fighting this specific skull person, and so when they managed to defeat it, we could imagine, and trap it in this mirror universe, if that is what happened, then the only piece of it left on this plane is what they had to hide away so that no one else could access that area.
I like it.
Ugh. Yeah. Let's talk about Eve in this episode.
Yes.
Because we got some real heavy emotional lifting from Eve that I genuinely enjoyed. In terms of like the Eve, Nick, Juliet like plot line that's developed over the last couple seasons. What did you guys think of her? All the stuff around Eve in this.
I think this is where we've been heading with what's going on. Everyone's been moving on with their lives, and Eve is like, I need to redeem myself and blah, blah, blah. I also like the speech that she gives, this big, you know, I don't blame you for any of this. This is what was meant to be, but I need to fix it and all that. I really liked it. I also think this is the end of Eve.
Well, it's the end of a lot of characters. We're only...
No, but I think, like, I don't know that she's gonna...
Make it out?
Yeah.
Make it out of the mirror dimension.
Right. The other place, it is not top? A mirror dimension. Top, I'll accept. At a top?
I mean, and kind of going off of what Yael said, I mean, I feel like she had gone to this dimension never intending to come back in the first place. Mm-hmm. I think she intended to either destroy this being or die trying.
Amanda in the chat asks how Eve is okay with killing people, but points out she's vegetarian. I just want to point out, I don't know that she's actually vegetarian. She didn't want to eat a bloop bot.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I think that was the implication.
Yeah, I think that's a fair, I'm vegetarian. I would have been like, I'm kosher. Sorry.
I mean, but what do you guys think it tasted like?
Chicken?
Maybe.
I mean, probably whatever a wolf tastes red. Like. I don't know. Yeah.
No, they like burnt it. Oh, that thing was well done.
Mm-mm. And it definitely wasn't spiced.
Yeah, well, you got to kill all the like
the
germs.
Bacteria. Yeah.
All the bacteria.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
And that's you think Nick's gonna have? I'm so excited for the awkward moment of like Nick running into Monroe and being like, "I've tasted glue bot."
There was a question in the chat asking if Monroe will be able to smell it on his breath. And I think he absolutely will.
Yeah. Oh, man. That'll be awkward. But Monroe has eaten people before.
Yeah, it's only fair.
Yeah, totally.
Speaking, I don't know how this reminded me in my head. We were discussing the grimness in this world.
Oh, yes. Because we were talking about how while Eve was in this world, she was essentially being forced into her vogue state. Mm-hmm. And we were wondering why Nick's eyes weren't automatically turning black, if that were the case.
And well, why no one seemed to care.
That is a fair point. Why they don't turn black, the way that the show set up the whole dark eyes thing is that that's only perceived by Vessin. Right. I don't think it's like a vogue state. So like us as people, mm-hmm. like as watching this, wouldn't see that. It would be only when we jump into Vessin POV that we would ever see Nick's dark eyes.
But he's in this world surrounded by Vessin, and none of them seem to have noticed or cared.
Right. Yeah, that I will grant you. That like I think Jir Storer noticed. They said that Jir Storer noticed when he was approaching them.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that they haven't, because when you look into the darkness, you see, like, the deepest, worst part of your soul or whatever.
Yeah, that's
right?
Supposed to be.
And so we're in this place that might be referred to as hell, and therefore no one sees it because either they have no soul or there Ooh. Is no worst part of their soul.
Oh, they are the worst part of their soul?
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm.
This is the place where dead people have been like sucked a way to. Because, like, Death Grip guy was pulled towards this place. Sorry, Tari. That sort of dashes the future theory a little bit more.
Maybe.
Not necessarily. But so, like, they're thrust into the future.
Yes. Happy? He just pulls
your
into the
dead
future.
Relatives are in the future if you can just live long enough.
Or get pulled. Anyway.
Anyway, yeah. But, like, so are these just Vessin who have been pulled? Like, is it that everyone here has been, like, pulled through to this plane, and then, like, Vessin, when they're pulled through, it only pulls, like, the Vessin part of their soul?
Maybe it's people are... dead people are pulled through and are then hunted by the Vessin who live here.
Mm.
Right? Because they need to survive.
Right. So then... but then what happens to them when they die in this world? Like, do they just die? So, like, it opens up this whole can of worms where you're like, well, if you die from being dead, then, like, what happens then? Are you reborn? Is there regeneration? No. What's the word I'm looking for?
Reincarnation.
Reincarnation.
I wanted to just let him find it.
I was nope, tempted. I was admittedly tempted to.
I never would have found it. I would have just been like, yep.
Regeneration. Yeah, no, that's an excellent question. I think I worry that this death grip thing that opened us up to see the symbols, which opened up the mirrors, which opened up this world, I worry that they're not connected. Like, I'm going to say it. I worry that the writers went, this is a really cool idea. Oh, but what about this thing? Oh, yeah, let's do this thing instead.
Right.
Oh, we forgot to connect these.
I mean, it'll just be a line. Just a line.
Right.
Whatever that line is, I can't tell you right now.
Yeah. But, like, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Right? Because it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Maybe. I mean, but she being our fun, nameless Russian lady, was like, you know, death is just a state of not being where you are now.
That's true.
So if there is a magical reincarnation,
mm-hmm.
Then they essentially could be reborn into this new world, whether it be the past, present, future, or just a parallel dimension.
Excellent points.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, like, well, I'm sure we'll get more answers for over the next two episodes.
I like that you're sure.
Yeah.
I hope. But I still want to talk about, like, Eve and Nick's, like, that conversation they have about, like, where she's like, all right, stop.
Collaborate.
I'm not.
Sid.
She just goes, stop. I am not Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so stop treating me like I am. Because he's like, I feel bad for, like, you never would be in this situation if you hadn't met me.
Yeah.
And she's like, first, she basically is like, F you, what if I want to be here? Like, you don't get to say that. Which I love. Like, that's, like, a strong character.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, somebody's, like, trying to be like, no, I feel so bad. It's like, don't feel bad. Like, I'm saving the world, dick.
Yeah.
Yo.
I mean, he is a detective.
You look like you. I know you have opinions, face.
No, I already said my opinions. I think that I liked the scene. I like where Eve is ending up, and I think that it's the end of Eve.
Yeah. Though I liked how the scene played out, and I liked all the acting. I like that they embrace each other tenderly. I want her to be Juliet because I want her to feel the weight of the things that she's done. And it sounds like she's absolved herself of everything that Juliet has done and she's passed it. So
the Grim Riders said that, like, this is a new, they tweeted about how this is a new, it's not Eve, it's not Juliet, it's a new being. And I think that that's okay. And that, I think that we're not getting Juliet back. We're not getting Eve back because now she feels. But, like,
right.
I like this. I like where we're ending up. But I'm satisfied with her.
This for the first time since the stick incident with Eve felt like, oh, this is Eve with more emotional core.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like when she's saying, like, would you really have wanted to go back to the way things were just to be happy?
That was the greatest line.
I loved that line.
She went, What, you want to be happy? That's insane.
She's like, happy? That's stupid.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
But I liked that. Like, that was a strong character moment for her. And, like, she said some stuff that was, like, I feel like, it resonated with me as a viewer and a fan of this character and of these characters. And I think it resonated with Nick, at least, to a point where he's like, oh, I shouldn't be, I don't have to be, like, babying you or protecting you.
Yeah.
Like, he felt like he had to protect Juliet, who was a newcomer to this world, that he got her involved in. And there's a level of guilt there.
Mm-hmm. She's been gone for a season. Like, he needs to... Girl, I don't know why you still think you need to protect Eve.
But, like, I get why he's in that place, because, like, in the middle of his, like, grief period, the face that he was grieving over came back to life and then was working with him and living with him again. And I can... And that is a confusing place to be when you're grieving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he found himself in a tough spot, but I really liked that scene. That was exactly what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that we get more of that from each character as we go over the next the next two episodes. The prophecy. We got to talk about the prophecy. The Shaphat. The Shaphat prophecy, which is Hebrew.
It's a name.
It's a name.
It's a name. It is a biblical name. It is some story. It has something to do with Deborah, which is why Rosalie's like, man, let's do Deborah. She was a great prophet. She was a great lady. Yeah, but we're not talking about her. We're talking about this dude, Shaphat, which...
Do you have, like, a little bit more on the Shaphat?
No, I don't. I don't. I looked him up. I meant to speak with a rabbi this morning, but she wasn't there. Shaphat.
I mean, Shaphat translates in Hebrew to judge.
Wrong. That's what everyone's saying. And
she said deliverer.
She said deliverer.
Because that person would be delivering a bunch of babies.
Is that your...
That's my interpretation. Well,
that's
yes,
your interpretation?
Because they were like, hey, this person is supposed to marry the devil and then have thousands of babies.
Well, but what I was going to say is not just yes, there's some definitions that's to judge, but a lot, but some of the other ones are to rule. So I think that's where it, like, Shaphat is going. Like, if it's to rule, then it's that, like, because the whole creepy prophecy is that Jerstor is hoping to kidnap Diana and then have 1,000 babies with her. Mm. 1,000.
Yeah.
1,000.
I mean...
But so that would effectively make her his queen if he's, like, conquering.
Right.
So, like, she would be a ruler of some kind. I guess that's where the etymology of it is.
It's weird because... A judge is Shofet, which is not the same as Shaphat.
Right.
Shaphat, Shofet.
Okay.
And Shaphat in the Bible is a man in the Bible, father of Elisha and son of Adlai. Great. That's who he is. He is somebody's father. He is Elisha's father.
Cool.
Or Elisha, however you want to say it. That is not important.
But he is for the mythology of...
I mean, it's like, sometimes it's better... I get that, though. Sometimes it's better to use a lesser-known biblical character, even a very, very minor one, because it allows you to... Like, they are referenced, they are involved in the Bible, but they are... But there's more room for you to play and still have it be, like, quote-unquote canon.
It was like somewhat... what's a name from the Bible? This'll do!
Well, did Shaphat in the Bible... deliver a bunch of babies? Like, was he the resident baby deliverer?
No.
He just walk around from town to town being like, you pregnant? I'm gonna make you not pregnant. You pregnant? I'm gonna make you not pregnant. And not in the bad way.
According to your maniac, her name is Dasha. Great.
Oh, got it.
The Russian lady.
Have we...
No, we did not.
It's fine.
Great that she has a name. I want to say that I don't think Diana is the Shaphat.
Oh. Interesting.
Because...
Okay, yeah, I'll let you say it, but I think I know where you're going.
The Skullface was reaching for one particular person. Also someone who could produce babies.
Yeah.
And keeps going... Not Nick. Although Renard actually could... but keeps reaching for one person, and I think this is a misdirect. I think that Eve is the Shaphat.
Yeah, right. That, like, as soon as you, like, yeah.
It's you know, the idea that there is this really powerful child who is the child of a royal and a hexen beast. Sure, that's awesome. But also really cool is a human who was turned into a hexen beast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, and that's who this Skullface keeps going after.
Yeah. That theory definitely holds water.
Mm-hmm. Also, Child Bride. I have a theory where that idea came from. Last season. I think it was last season.
Okay, maybe.
we were discussing, before Diana came back, we had a lot of discussions about when we found out that Hannah Lloyd was playing this character and we thought it was a teenager. And there was a joke about... an adult Diana or a teen Diana and Meisner running off together. And I feel like the writer's like, we can do that with Diana. Let's just child bride it.
Oh, my God,
let's just scrape it out.
Oh, man.
Because we come up with creepy ideas and they go, yeah, okay, let's do that.
Yeah, totally. Why not? Also, you guys see that sweet Dragon Ball reference we made? Good.
Ivan also in the chat says, maybe Dasha is way off. That's also possible.
Yeah.
She's
just, me wrong.
Yeah, she's just some lady in Russia.
It's true.
Yeah, there's also, like, I don't know. What if it's trouble?
Why? This is Shaphat?
I don't know.
Like she left to do her mission, and then you find out she's been in this mirror top the whole time. And then she's like, take me with you. This guy wants to bone me.
Oh, man. Should we go into some predictions?
I just, before we do, want to mention that, like, Renard is now part of the team again. And
yeah, out of necessity, I guess.
Yeah, and I like that we take him into the tunnels. And basically, I felt like that whole sequence of filling him in on everything, especially early on when Adeline was filling Nick in on all the stuff with Diana and all of her murders.
Yeah.
It was like... We have 3 episodes left. Let's make sure everyone knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they just dissected everything for us and went, okay, we're all up to date. Let's move forward.
Yeah, just in case people are like, well, I'll watch the last 3.
Yeah. I wonder where it's going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some predictions as we move to Grimm's.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
He can't end a sentence.
The voice was talking.
I know.
This is the voice of God.
as we get into Grimm's penultimate episode.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys had noticed, but in the last frame before we got the next week preview, when the skull guy was doing his wave, Eve was Volgin.
Oh, yeah. She went full Hexen Beast.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys think it was part of her, or part of the wave that he was doing, or it was her preparing for battle?
I think that was her being forced into Vogue state.
Okay.
Either by the amount of time she was down there, that's fair. I mean, it's a good question.
It's a great question.
I don't know. If he is the source of them being perma-vogued, then maybe just being in proximity.
Yeah.
Forced it.
I have some predictions from the chat. Amanda says, Dasha mentions having history with Sean, so maybe she's leading him onto nonsense because she thinks he's still teamed up with Blacklaw.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that idea.
I want to know how this person is connected.
She's a Russian lady and they're pretending she knows magic.
They probably did it at some point. Wait.
Knowing Sean, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Amanda says, during 12th century, the former Grimms need additional backup, so they hit a stick in hopes that a Grimm who plays better with Vessin will help the world. There was another prediction and I lost it. All right. Keep predicting, people.
So in the teaser for next week, it looks like Jersor is straight up coming to our world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And when he dives... Did you guys catch this? When he dives through the mirror? Because we see somebody dive through the mirror.
Right.
Holding the staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's blonde.
Yeah, he's blonde and shirtless.
I did notice. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, I did.
I assumed that you would. So I think he's going to get over here and start just like wrecking the place up.
You
like,
assume the blonde shirtless guy
is... I assume it's your store.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Who did you think the blonde shirtless guy was?
I thought he was someone new.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Because we see the skull face in our world in skull face form.
Yes.
In
a shirt,
in
though.
In a t-shirt and pants.
So that's why I think the blonde guy is...
I think as soon as he gets out here, he is...
It's Zablulula.
Right, Zablulula.
I think as soon as he gets here, he no longer has to be in Vogue form.
Ah.
And we're going to see him in his human form. The skull is his Vogue.
Is he going to be super hot?
Probably.
Maybe. I mean, you see that back. It's a pretty muscular back.
But I didn't see the front.
You abs, see the abs. You see it. It's all like craggy and stuff. It's pretty good.
Excellent questions. I'm asking the important stuff, guys.
Yeah, he's like, it looks like he's made of stone. You might say that he's cut.
That's a good one.
Nice. But, I mean, if that is the case, it kind of lends towards what Zach was saying episodes ago, that he is basically like a uber Zauber beast.
Mm.
Yeah, I still hold on to that theory. We'll see.
In the scene with Hank shooting up the guy.
Yes, he gets a lot of heroin.
nice. No, when he's like using a machine gun against the guy.
Yes.
I think Hank's gonna die next episode.
No,
but
I mean, somebody's gonna die in these episodes. Like that's just like how somebody's has to die.
Yeah, it'll probably be both Hank and Wu.
Yeah.
But Wu will die in Hank's arms and he'll be like, I've always loved you. No woman was good enough for me.
I would love that. That would be
you
the
know
best
what?
Twist.
That is exactly where we're going to leave it for this after show. Dale, do you have another prediction? I don't want to cut it off. But
No. I just don't think that Diana's going to be taken easy if he is really coming for her to make 100 babies with her. I don't think that girl's going down without a fight.
Oh, yeah. Is it 100? I said 1,000 before.
It was 100.
Probably was 100.
Yeah.
It's still a lot.
Mr. D-Style says it's Chris Hemsworth.
Ah, great.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Okay, so a lot to look forward to next week. Two more episodes to go, guys. Two episodes left of Grimm. It's super sad, but I'm super excited to see how this wraps up. Thank you for watching. This has been the Grimm AfterBuzz TV After Show. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. This past Saturday, we started the Iron Fist After Show. I am AfterBuzz and Black Hollow Live are both going to be doing individual after shows so we can dissect it in all kinds of ways. I am hosting the BHL After Show. So you can go join me, Joelle Monique, Andrew Mena, and Rick Hong breaking down all of Iron Fist. We did the first 6 episodes over the weekend, so you can go see those on Black Hollywood Live, or you can find the links to them in my Twitter as well.
Oh, I'm Yael Teagle. You can find me everywhere at Yael Teagle. That's YAELTYGIEL. And I'm on after shows here at AfterBuzz TV for Switched at Birth, for Legion on Wednesday nights at super late hours. And SVU is coming back. Very excited for SVU to come back. Plus the final 2 episodes of Grimm.
Aww.
Oh, and if you're a Supergirl fan, I just interviewed Kyler Lee, and that interview is available on starrymag.com.
Nice.
Cool.
And I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. That's TariJay. You can also find me here on AfterBuzz TV's DCCW Slate. That's Supergirl, Flash.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Arrow. Yeah, we're also on Flash together. and then also this show every week here on AfterBuzz TV at 5 o'clock on Sundays.
In case you didn't know.
Yeah.
All right, guys, this has been the AfterBuzz TV After Show for Grimm.
Thanks for geeking out with us. Yes.
Thank you. Geeking.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV
Is that what you've been trying?
We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.